How are you? Good to see you. Sorry Kelly couldn't be here. Y'all are just going to have to listen to me. I'd rather listen to Kelly. You think? Nah. Hey, we're going to have a good time. You know why? Because it's not me that you have to listen to. It's the Holy Ghost. Isn't that true? You know, it doesn't matter what I say. If you're open to the ears of the Holy Ghost, the voice of the Holy Ghost, He will speak to you. He used a donkey. He can use me. Isn't that true?
Yes.
All right. So the Holy Ghost will speak to you at the point of your need. You are not limited to my ability to speak. Right? So the Holy Ghost will meet you. What is it that you're looking for? What is it that you need in your life? The Holy Ghost will address that in your life. You can actually listen on the inside, and He will give you direction. Even though I'm talking about this topic way over here, the Holy Ghost will minister to you because you're in a place to hear. Amen? It's a great opportunity to just hear what the Holy Ghost has to say. Why don't we open up in prayer, okay? Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. I pray that it would be alive to us, that we would get insight and understanding, that we'd be able to go out, put it into practice, and that it would just change our lives forever. Give us revelation knowledge tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to open up with a scripture in Romans chapter 8. I have a lot of scriptures printed here, so I'm not going to be opening my Bible constantly because I printed them on some paper so I could flip through them quickly. Do y'all like the Bible?
Amen.
Do you like the Word? Yeah, John, he said Jesus was the Word. And so when you listen to the Word, when you read the Word, when you put the Word on the inside of you, you are developing a relationship with Jesus Himself. Amen? And you get revelation. You get to know Jesus through the Word. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now," say now.
Now.
When is now?
Now.
Now. Not later. Now.
Now.
Isn't that right? Now. No condemnation. How much? None. What is condemnation? That's when you're getting beat up and beat over and you're being told that you're wrong all the time. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So who has no condemnation?
We do.
We do. If you are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. The devil can't keep bringing up your past. Isn't that true? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. How many of you have heard of the Apostle Paul? Obvious question. I mean, most everybody knows who Paul was, right? He wrote most of the New Testament, didn't he? He wasn't one of the original 12 apostles, but he came along after Jesus died and rose again. The Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he had a vision of the Lord. And then after that, he began to preach the gospel. Do you all know what Paul's job was? Well, I am hearing a number of different stories here. We do know in the book of Acts, he said that at one time he was a tent maker. He would take sheepskins and make tents out of them. But you know, he said also that he was a Pharisee. He persecuted the church, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he was a Pharisee. Do you know what the Pharisee was? A Pharisee was a lawyer. Okay? A Pharisee, they looked at God's law, they interpreted the law, and then they tried to tell people how to live according to the law. What do our lawyers do now? We have lawyers, then the lawyers become congressmen, and the lawyers become judges. All of these people have a legal degree. These are lawyers. These are legal people in our current system, our United States of America, aren't they? What are they trying to enforce? They're trying to enforce the law. Paul, when he was a Pharisee, his main concern was that everybody did the law, wasn't it? Now, if you did the law, you had certain legal rights if you kept the law. You remember back in Deuteronomy, God said, if you keep the law, you're going to be blessed. If you don't keep the law, you're going to be cursed. Right? And it kind of, in our America, it's the same way today. If you keep the law, you live a good life. If you don't keep the law, you get to enjoy free housing and free food in a gated community. Jail. Okay, free to them, maybe. There are things, if you keep the law, you live good. If you don't keep the law, consequences come. Now, that's talking about our legal system here in America. What is our where does our legal system come from? It comes from the Constitution. And then it comes from each of the laws that come from the Constitution. You have certain rights and privileges that are guaranteed you through the Constitution of the United States as an American citizen. And you have certain rights and privileges that you have as being a Florida resident, don't you? There's certain things that you're allowed to do. Now, let's go back to God's law. In the Old Testament, way back in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve enjoyed a great life, didn't they? Everything they needed was provided for them. The garden was wonderful. It was beautiful. It was blessed. Then what happened? Satan came in. They listened to him. Sin came in. And then all of a sudden, everything changed when sin came in. And later, God, through Moses, introduced the Ten Commandments, right? This was God's law. And that's when in the Old Testament, he said, if you do the law, you're going to be blessed. If you don't do the law, you're going to be cursed. Now, years later, what happened to the law? Hebrews 8 says that God took away the Old Testament law when he sent Jesus to the cross. So when Jesus came to the cross, the Old Testament law was no longer necessary. We no longer needed to focus on that. Now we focus on the law of Christ. Here in Romans 8, we were just reading that, verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The Old Testament law came about because of sin. So we had the law came in, and then Jesus went to the cross on our behalf, and a new law came about. Now, the reason why I'm talking about the law isn't to make you do the law or not do the law or anything like that. I want to show you that there's legal rights according to the law that belong to you. According to the law of the United States, you have certain legal rights. You have a right to freedom of speech. You have a right to freedom of assembly for religious purposes. You have a right to carry arms. You have certain legal rights given to you because you are an American citizen or whatever country you belong to, right? Now, if you belong to God, you also have certain legal rights. Do you see where I'm going with this? You have legal rights since you're born again. Don't you? Do you have legal rights as an American citizen? Do you remember the story back in Acts when Paul was arrested and they were going to beat him and put him in jail? And he said, you can't do that to me. I'm a Roman citizen. They immediately backed up and said, wait a minute. He has legal rights that we didn't know about because he's a Roman citizen. So we have to treat this differently. You have legal rights because you are a born-again daughter or son of God. Isn't that true? You have legal rights in God. And the devil has to back up and say, hey, wait a minute. I can't do that because they have legal rights. But the devil, he doesn't listen to the law very well, does he? He tries to go around the law. He tries to convince you that the law isn't good for you, that it doesn't apply to you. So he tries to say, no, that doesn't apply to you. You don't qualify. Well, let me show you a scripture in Colossians. It's Hebrews chapter 8. You can Well, you can read verses 8 through 12. I may come back to that. But I want to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. You see this word? The Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The Lord Jesus went to the cross and died for us so that we would have legal right to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Right? We have a legal right to be part of the kingdom of heaven. We do that by accepting Jesus Christ. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, you have no legal right to what's in heaven. But once you accept Jesus Christ, you have a legal right to participate in all the benefits that he has. Right now. Not just in heaven. Yes, you're going to get great benefits in heaven. Talk about a retirement plan. Isn't it? But you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy those rights. You have certain legal rights here, right now, in this lifetime. Let me go on. We're still in Colossians. It says, verse 13. Let me read 12 again. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Who qualified us to partake in these legal rights, these legal benefits? Jesus. The Father, through Jesus, qualified us. So you have a legal right to everything in Christ. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, that's Satan and sin, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So part of your legal rights is that you are forgiven. Isn't that true? A lot of people, let me tell you, a lot of people go around thinking that they're still unforgiven for their sins. That they can't be forgiven. But yet the word says Jesus became sin so that we might be what? Righteousness of God. This is in 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to go there in just a second. But see, we have legal right to be forgiven. Not because you did anything, not because I did anything, but because Jesus went to the cross. See, he changed the whole law. Under the old law, you had to earn your righteousness. Under the new law, we get to receive forgiveness of sins just by saying thank you. We say thank you. We have a legal right to be forgiven. Now, just because we have a legal right to it doesn't mean the devil's going to let us have it easily. You know what I mean? Way back in the 1860s, they were having a battle here in America. The Civil War started, and it was over slavery. The North said, no, you can't have slaves, and the South said, yes, we can. And then President Lincoln, he signed a law. Now, when he signs a law, that means everybody has to abide by it, right? He said, every person living in America, slave or not slave, is free. So when he signed that piece of paper, did everyone just drop their shovels and walk away? It took a whole war to set those people free. Just because he signed a piece of paper didn't mean the people got to enjoy the benefits of it. They had to fight for it. Other people had to fight for their benefits. They had to run the devil off. It didn't just fall on them. So Jesus went to the cross and earned benefits for you and declared legally that you are forgiven. But yet the devil will still try to tell you that didn't happen. It's not for you. You don't deserve it. And you have to remind him, no, the law of God in Christ says I am forgiven. Legally, I have a legal right to live and act forgiven. I don't have to feel the weight of my past. I don't have to feel like I'm still trying to earn God's favor. Why? Because I have a legal right to all of his love. I have a legal right to all of his forgiveness because Jesus paid for it. Isn't that true? I have legal rights. You know, we consult a lawyer to help do what? To help get us our legal rights. We go to a lawyer and you say, my rights are not being honored. Help me enforce my rights. Isn't that true? If you've ever tried to get disability, if you've ever tried to go, if you've ever been through a divorce, if you've ever been through a court case, if someone's ever sued you for something, you went to a lawyer to enforce your legal rights. So in John chapter 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, here it comes. Didn't work. I have to turn to my Bible. I didn't write this down. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Do you have your Bibles? Are you using them? Hebrews, James, Peter, John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What does the word advocate mean? In essence, it means lawyer. It means a lawyer. It means someone who goes to battle for you for legal purposes. They stand in your stead. The lawyer goes and presents your case before the whole jury or the judge and says, this is what the law says. And so you have to give them these privileges, whether it be freedom or whatever it is. The law says. Well, Jesus goes before the Father God and says, here's my blood. So you have to call them forgiven. You have to look at them as forgiven. He's our lawyer. He's our advocate. Anytime you need some, anytime the devil's just really hounding you or pounding on you or telling you otherwise, you say, Jesus, I need you to go to court for me again. Isn't that true? He's our advocate. Jesus is our advocate. And he says, according to the law of Christ, according to the law of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, 2, you have no condemnation. Isn't that true? We have a legal right. It's legally ours. And it's legally yours if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, how many people have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? Amen? So, you have a legal right to stand up tall and say, I'm forgiven. Isn't that true? But you know, that's not the only thing. It's not just being righteous. 2 Corinthians 5, let's read it. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. I'll read that to you, and then we'll look at some other things that are also yours. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is that you? If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All that old, gone. It's no longer on your records. You know, if you ever had a criminal record, you did something wrong, you went to court, they put it on your records, and forever, people can pull up that record unless they come through and they totally erase your records. A sponge? Is that what it's called? Yeah. They expunge your records. Now, if anyone goes and looks at your records, they'll say, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. And see, this is what God did when you got born again. Now, anytime what happens is you go to God and you say, Lord, I need healing in my body. And the devil says, he sinned. He doesn't deserve healing in his body. And the Lord pulls up your paper and he goes, what you be talking about? there's nothing here. There's no record of him ever committing a sin. It's totally white. It's just a white piece of paper. What are you talking about? There's nothing holding me back from giving him healing. Receive healing. You have a legal right to all the benefits in Christ. Amen? Because you accepted Jesus Christ. The verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." He traded places with us. He took every single one of your sins. And he became sin. And then we became totally sinless, without sin. So when God looks at you, it's as if you never did anything wrong. That's how he looks at you. You say, "My kids, they were great. I never one single time had to correct them, punish them, or do anything to them." Anybody? No. No, I know better than that. I mean, I grew up, my mom had this thick paddle, and she wasn't afraid to use it. I assure you. She told me when I was 16, she said, "I'll stand on a chair and beat you if I have to." She would have too. But when God looks at us, it's as if we never did anything wrong. Of course. You want that? Of course. But Lord, that's okay. My son took care of that for you. Enjoy it. Enjoy. Enjoy. Now there's more to it than that. How about 1 Peter 2:24? It says, "Who himself," who's himself? Jesus. This is Jesus, right? "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree." This is where he became sin for us and we became the righteousness of God. "So himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness." Now, before I go to the last part of this verse, you're dead to sins. There's no consequences, no effects, no lingering results of sin in your life. You say, "Well, I sure am feeling them." Well, let me tell you what to do. You look at those and you say, "According to the word, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. By Jesus going to the cross, he has forgiven me of all sins. Therefore, I'm not going to sit here and think about them. I'm not going to live like I did them. I'm going to stand up straight and I'm going to act like it never happened." There was a story of a nun. She had a vision of Jesus. Jesus came and appeared to her. And she started telling people that Jesus appeared to her. And the priest pulled her aside and said, "I don't know if this is true or not true, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And here's what I want you to do. Next time Jesus appears to you, I want you to ask him what I confessed at confession last week." The priest. And there's no way the nun knows what it is because she wasn't there. So she went on and nothing happened. So the priest figured, well, maybe she wasn't actually seeing the Lord, so she can't come to me. But then she called him. She said, "The Lord appeared to me." He said, "Well, come here, let's have a talk." So the nun came to the head priest and they're talking. And he says, now tell me, did you ask Jesus what I told you to ask him?" And she said, "Yeah, I did." And she said, "Jesus, Father so-and-so, he wanted to know what he wanted me to ask you to tell me what he confessed in confessional last week." And she said, it was real interesting. Jesus got this real puzzled look on his face. And he said, "You know, I honestly can't remember." Isn't that true? Isn't that true? He forgets your sins. As far as the east is from the west, He has totally forgotten your sins. He doesn't keep a running tally of everything you talk to him about, everything that you confess. He says, forgiven, 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 forgiven. Look, come here, let's do something. Let's go do something. Let's set this world on fire for God. Isn't that what he does? Okay, so you did it. Let's move on. But I just did it. My son died for you 2,000 years ago. It's done. It's finished. Move on. Amen? The last part of this verse, 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. Why in the world? You know, I thought about this all the time. Why stripes? Why stripes? Why does it have to be stripes? When I was little, I told you my mom had a nice paddle. It was good, thick pine paddle, and she used it often. And if she hit us hard enough, it would leave a nice stripe. You know? Wouldn't it? Stripes were always punishment for disobedience. Isn't that true? And in the Old Testament, if you go back and you look at everyone that got stripes, it was always punishment for something or someone that had done something wrong. So it was always, stripes were always the punishment for sin. So Jesus took all of your punishment for sin. So if you think you're being punished for sin by being made sick, I'm sick because I fill in the blank. I have to go through this because I, well, let me tell you, Jesus took your blank, didn't he? He took all of the punishment that was due you. And he said, now that is legally paid for. It's legally paid for. You have a legal right to stand here and say, I didn't do it. According to the law, that is not on my account. I did not do that. I have a legal right to say I am totally forgiven and my record is totally expunged. It's as if I never did it. Because Jesus took all the stripes, all the punishment necessary for me to receive healing. So one of the benefits, one of the legal rights that you can claim as a born-again believer is that you are the righteousness of God. Another one that you can claim is that you have a right to healing in your body. You have a right to be healed. That is one of your legal rights. But you know, sometimes the devil just doesn't listen to you. And you need to say, no. You don't leave me according to my authority. You leave out of this body according to the authority of Jesus Christ. He died. He bore stripes. He did it for me. No, I didn't earn it, but Jesus sure did. I have a legal right to it because of what Jesus did for me. People every day in America go to a lawyer or go in front of a judge and declare their legal right to something. We need to declare our legal right to forgiveness, our legal right to healing. Not because we bought it, but because Jesus bought it for us. Amen? We have a legal right to the things of God. And there's another one I can show you too. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That word become rich sounds very similar to the way he said that you might become the righteousness of God. What that means is he now has a legal right to make you rich. This is interesting. This substitution, look at the three different areas where it's identical. He became sin so that you might be what? Forgiven, righteous. He became sickness so that you might become what? Healed. He became poor that you have a legal right to be rich. All of these are in the same category. God values every single one of those. And it's your legal right. It is your legal right. The devil cannot withhold any of those from you. We often say that this is what we call redemption. You're redeemed. You've been bought back. He took your place. You don't have to have any of the old things. You get the blessing of the new things. Isn't that true? This is what redemption is. You have a legal right to be forgiven, healed, and rich. You're redeemed. You are redeemed from poverty, you're redeemed from sickness, and you're redeemed from spiritual death. You're redeemed from all of these things. You don't have to have them. You've got a legal right. Now, sometimes you got to just grab the devil by his collar right here, pull him up to you, and you say, I said no in Jesus' name. And you got to stand your ground. And you got to say, I'm not having it. This is what my legal right is. This is what's going to operate in my life. Amen? And you got to take authority over the devil. And you got to say, no, you can't do that in my life any longer. Amen. Isn't that true? You have legal rights. I'm going to have to wrap this up coming here quick. Let me see if there's any other scriptures I want to share with you. Oh, there's so many good ones. I like 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Let me get to it here. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from the aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let me tell you were redeemed with the most precious, valuable treasure that God ever had to offer, the blood of his own son. You're redeemed. You are bought back. You are done. If you are a born-again Christian, you have every legal right to all the benefits of God. He paid for it. It's done. They are yours. Isn't that true? You have a legal right to it. Have you ever fought for your legal rights? Under the Constitution of America, or the laws of the state of Florida, you fight for your legal rights. You've hired a lawyer to fight for your legal rights. We need to go back to Jesus and say, I have a legal right to this. Fight for me on this case. And Jesus will bear his arm, they say. You remember the old movies? Whenever someone was fixing to get in a fight, they would start rolling up their sleeves. Isaiah 52, it says that God bore his arm. Right before he sent Jesus to the cross, he bore his arm. He said, I'm ready for a fight, and I'm going to win. 2 Peter 2 Peter 1:8. It said, for if these things are yours, are these things yours? They are yours. If these things are yours and abound to you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who lack these things, so if you're not seeing your legal rights working in your life, you say, I have a legal right to it, but it sure doesn't appear that the devil knows I have a legal right to it. Here's what he says. He says, for verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. they forgot that they were the righteousness of God. And that became, they no longer could fight for their legal rights. But when you realize that you are the righteousness of God, that your sins are forgiven, that you have been redeemed by the most precious treasure of all, the blood of Jesus Christ, and you remind yourself every morning, I am the righteousness of God. I do have legal rights in His kingdom. And you remind yourself that the devil can't treat you that way. You will begin to see fruit of your righteousness operating in your life. Amen? You have a legal right to be, act, and live totally forgiven. You have a legal right to be healed in your body. You have a legal right for God to move on your behalf so that you can be rich. It is your legal right. And sometimes you got to put your foot down and you got to go talk to your advocate and you got to say, help me. Help me. And when you cry out to the Lord, He will help you. He will help you fight for every single one of your legal rights. Amen? Amen. Well, I've enjoyed sharing with you today. I hope that it's been a blessing to you. I tell you what, fight for your legal rights. Go to Jesus. Say, help me. Help me get these legal rights in my life. Amen? Amen. Artie, I'm going to have to turn this over to you. I've got to run to the other service, so. Let me look it up for you. Isaiah, one quick verse. Isaiah, where the Father bore His arm. Actually, it's Isaiah 53, verse 1. And then we see the redemption story in verse 3, 4, and 5, so. Amen.